Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through that transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on October 1st, 2015 at the Roxy Theater in Missoula, Montana, at the opening event of the first annual Montana Film Festival. Six storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Real Stories. That's R-E-E-L. Get it? A movie pun? Never mind. Today's story comes to us from Kendra Myelnichuk and is titled, When Life Imitates Art. Thank you for listening.
So, my story begins in November of 2012. I was standing on the stage of the DGA Theater in Los Angeles, New York, receiving an award for my performance as the title character in a short film called Okay, Breathe, Orally. The film was about a Native American woman who had been adopted out of her tribe and was desperate to find a child or to have a baby. She goes to extraordinary lengths. Hilarity ensues over the course of her biological clock erupting. What most of the people in the audience didn't know is that this role was quite close to my own life. And another thing that almost no one in the audience knew was that I was, in that moment, 5 weeks pregnant with my daughter, Suka. After the film was made and we had a pretty wonderful time taking it to Sundance and a couple of other festivals and ultimately, getting this award at the Shortcuts Festival, my director, Brooke Swaney, and I made the decision to create a documentary about my own search for my biological mother and my journey into motherhood. So we started shooting the film shortly after I found out that I had conceived, and sort of periodically, it was like in between projects between the two of us, we would like get a camera and shoot a couple of things here and there once in a while. And then cut to this last August, where I am sitting in a month ago, I'm sitting in a car outside of the Grotto, which is a park in Portland, Oregon, feeling very much like I did on the stage at the DGA, and by that I mean I wanted to vomit terribly. Only this time it wasn't from first trimester hormones. It was because I was about to meet my birth mother for the first time. And I had a camera because Brooke, I don't go anywhere without Brooke when I'm telling this story. So Brooke Swaney is sitting in the passenger seat beside me holding this camera very close to my face, and I'm repeating over and over, I want to puke, I want to puke, I want to puke, I want to puke, I want to puke. And in these moments, these like large life moments, you think, if I could set a soundtrack to my life, what would it be? I didn't really have the opportunity to do that because in this moment, I opened the car door and Benedictine chant came flooding in. The Grotto, it turned out, this place that my birth mother had suggested we meet at, is a Catholic park. So I get out of the car and I start walking through the parking lot to the most surreal, like, amen. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then I get this text and it says, look for the man in the white shirt and black pants. He will tell you where to go from the birth mother. And I was like, what the fuck is she planning? Okay, so I'm walking and sure enough, a man in a white shirt and black pants is like, get, so there's an elevator, you're gonna get on the elevator, go up and you'll know what to do. And I was like, okay. And he's like, your ticket's paid for. So we walk over to this elevator because the park is also vertical. And it's like 200 feet up, you get to this ridge that is this absolutely beautiful Pacific Northwest vista. So We're on the elevator, and again, I want to puke. And the doors, and we get to the top, it's like, ding, doors open, and there's the big reveal. Sitting on a bench directly in front of me is my birth mother, who I, you know, haven't seen since I came out. And she stood up, and there was this like slow-mo, kind of weird, familiar, awkward, also knowing saunter towards one another. And then we embraced and immediately sat down on the bench and didn't stop talking for about 4 hours, like interrupting one another with all of these things about where she had been and where I had been and what our lives were. And, you know, it turned out that she was also adopted, and her story was much different from mine. She had been taken from her birth parents without their permission. She had been stolen. It was fraught and really painful and difficult. And her father, my grandfather, it turned out, was a medicine man in the Lummi tribe, this Pacific Northwest tribe. And I, you know, told her about where I had come from and how grateful I am, how wonderful my parents are. And then after about 4 hours of like, we got up and we walked through the park, and there were all of these shrines to different Catholic saints all around. And so we started walking around and continuing to have conversations about, you know, my adopted brother and her son, my biological brother, and all of these things. And then we ended up at this chapel, this tiny, like 9x9 chapel that was a chapel to Saint Anne. And she was like, who's this for? And I said, well, it's for Saint Anne. I went to Catholic school, I know these things. And she was like, well, who is Saint Anne? And I said, well, she's the mother of Mary. And she was like, oh, okay, but what did she do? And I was like, she gave birth to Mary. I don't know. It's like, so that's what she did. And she was like, but what did she do to like become a saint? And I was like, no, that's what she did. She like, she had Mary had Jesus. She's the grandmother of Christ. And I found myself in that moment so profoundly grateful to be able to have this conversation with the woman who had so selflessly made the choice at 17 to go through her pregnancy and to deliver me and to then so selflessly know that she couldn't do what she needed to do and to give me to the parents that she knew were my parents. And it was a really like special, unexpected moment in this weird Catholic park. And then we left the chapel and continued walking, and then we sat down on this bench, and she was like, so do you smudge? And I was like, I mean, kind of, like, yeah, I burn sage. I don't really know how to do it right, but, you know, when things get weird in my house, I burn some sage. And she was like, yeah, I don't really know how to do it either. I mean, I do it the way my dad taught me, and I was like, yeah, probably you know how to smudge. He was a medicine man. But yeah, and she said, well, would you mind if I smudge you? And I said, yeah, you should totally do that. So she pulls out this like abalone shell that's like this big out of this buckskin pouch that was my grandfather's. And she sits it down on her lap and she's like, okay, so I have this sage that I brought from Montana because I just happened to have like white sage from Montana. And she starts putting that, and then she starts to explain like this resin that she has from the reservation and these other herbs. And as she's talking, we hear this like hoo 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 hoo, and she was like, what was that, an owl? And I said, yeah. And she was like, you never hear owls like in downtown Portland. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And so then she keeps talking and breaking the sage up, and then we hear this like other owl on the other side of the park, like hoo hoo. And she said, I'm sorry, can we just, and I said, yeah, let's. So we just sat there quietly and listened to these owls calling one another back and forth from either end of the park. And they started to get closer and closer and closer until they were like right over our heads, talking very animatedly to one another. And then she takes me by the hand and we walk out into the middle of this little clearing. And And tears just streaming down her face. And she's like, I want to sing one of my father's songs for you. And I said, yeah, do that. So she lights, you know, lights the sage and starts to waft it over my body. And her voice completely changes. And she lets out this, like, gorgeous, huge sound, this incredible chant that is, I can't really articulate it other than to say that it completely changed everything about the moment. And I forgot suddenly everything I ever knew or maybe thought I knew about the ceremony of being smudged. And she's literally having to, like, physically lift my leg up to get underneath my feet. And I'm just standing there, like, dumb and shocked and confused. And the owls are, like, hoo-hoo-hooing above us. And then she comes around behind me and as she starts to move the smoke over my back and you know, clearing, I fell apart, like big, fell apart. And it was so incredible because it wasn't really about it was like the questions fell away. It wasn't really that I was having answers provided. It was just that suddenly all of these questions, like, didn't matter anymore. And I knew who I was. And who I was wasn't different than who I had thought, but suddenly it was, like, more full. And then she finished, and then she smudged herself and quit singing, and the owls were quiet. And then she called Brooke over, who was, like, awkwardly standing with the camera, like, 50 feet away, just kind of like, and it put it down, and she smudged Brooke, and we had this beautiful moment, the three of us standing here at dusk, like, golden hour. We kept our light till the last second. And then suddenly we hear this guard from, like, the shadows, like, hey, ladies, the park's closing, you gotta... So we get up and we start wandering back over toward the elevator, and April, my birth mother, says, this is really weird, but I want you to know that I didn't plan that. And I said, yeah, you weren't, like, cue the owls. Obviously, you didn't. It was a magical moment that happened. And she said, yeah, well, I just, you know, I don't really know how to explain this other than to say that your grandfather, he carried a couple of different, he was, like, had some different medicines, and an owl was, you know, one of them. And he had passed away in 2000, and so he was with us. And I said, yeah, of course he was. Obviously. And it was just this incredible moment that, you know, they say that art imitates life, which is absolutely true, but I had this beautiful, rare opportunity to witness my life imitating my art, where I had this chance to say yes to a role about a woman needing to know who she was. And because I had the opportunity to play that role, all of these things unfolded until I got to have the opportunity to find out who I am.
Thanks, Kendra. Kendra Mielnichuk hails from Lake Oswego, Oregon. After studying acting at the University of Montana, she became known for films such as 2 Days in New York, Winter in the Blood, and Christmas Under Wraps. Kendra now lives in Montana, having moved there from Brooklyn in 2014 with her young daughter and her husband, an actor and writer. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The bookstore at the University of Montana. Our title sponsor in 2015, the bookstore at the University of Montana is a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Roxy Theater, a nonprofit arts and cultural organization that is a place with something for everyone and a catalyst for Missoula's culture and arts. Each year, the Roxy presents thousands of screenings, live performances, and educational, nonprofit, and community events to over 25,000 friends. With the help of hundreds of volunteers, the Roxy merges community, cinema, and education for the Missoula community. TheRoxyTheater.org. Montana Film Festival, celebrating independent and mainstream films shot in Montana. MontanaFilmFestival.org. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Podcast production by Ashley Nielsen. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers, Mike Steinberg, Gregory Johnson, Kendra Myalnichuk, Michael Murphy, Lily Gladstone, Joseph Grady, Allison Whitmer, and Zach Thomas. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the dates and themes for 2016. The next Tell Us Something is March 29th at the Wilma. The theme is, Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me? Remember, your story matters. Find us at tellussomething.org. Thanks for listening.